Last week we spoke about receiving things and how it matters how what kind of receiver we are. To what purpose we receive the gifts. Are we a good, you know, you can be a good winner and a good, there's something as a good winner and something as a good loser, right? You know, we don't want to be sore losers, but we don't want to be sore winners either, right? So it's not consistent for us to win and go, nah, 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 boo, boo, you know, or say, I'm better than you, blah, blah, blah. It's not, you know, that's not right. And it's not good for us to be sore losers where we carry around a chip on our shoulder all the time. Take that and put it into the template of gifts and receiving gifts and giving gifts. We don't want to receive gifts and not use them. We don't want to receive gifts as if we earned the gift. Because if you earned it, it's not a gift, right? If you earned it, it's what you get paid. It's wages, right? So, I don't even know if I talked about this particular part last week, but being a receiver of things is, it matters how you receive the gifts. I remember one Christmas, not too long ago, a couple Christmases ago, our niece had gotten married, and he's a country boy, and he gave me a Yeti cup, one exactly like the one I had. And I was not that excited about it, and I felt bad about that because I didn't act excited. I mean, I didn't really, I mean, I think I said thank you, but it was, you know, that was a blessing. He gave that gift because it was something that he thought that I would really like. And I did really like it. I didn't need it, but I liked it, right? And because I didn't need it, I didn't act like I was all that happy to get it. And I felt bad about that for him because I had not known him very long, and I didn't want him to give that impression that I wasn't appreciative. Do we receive gifts from God that way? When we've already got something and He keeps on giving us the same thing, do we receive His gifts with thankfulness? Do we receive His gifts with appreciation? And if we have the same gifts, if we already have a gift and He keeps on giving us some of the same thing, do we say, well, thanks again, and put it on the shelf and forget about it? I think I gave one of my kids that gift. I think. I mean, I didn't use the new one. I think I gave that one new one to somebody else. I know I did. Do y'all see that in terms of spiritual gifts? God has given us grace And what are we doing with that grace? Right? God has given us mercy. What are we doing with that mercy? God has given us so many things. He's forgiven us. What are we doing with that forgiveness? I mean, He keeps on forgiving us, right? He didn't just forgive us once. He did do that when He put away sin. He forgave all those sins in His mind, in His purpose. Did you sin today? I have. I've had some crazy thoughts today. The thoughts of foolishness is sin. I've sinned today. I need help for that. I need forgiveness for that. He keeps on giving me forgiveness. If someone else makes a mistake, are we forgiving? Or are we laying down the hammer of judgment? God has always given gifts, right? He's always given gifts. He started out giving gifts, didn't He? In His creation, and that's what I want to talk about today, is giving gifts. Not the reception. Well, you can't unmarry receiving and giving, though. You can't. They're together. In the creation, God gave man of His perfect creation for him to dress it and keep it. Adam lost it, didn't he? He lost his estate that God gave him. I mean, he lost that garden because of what he had done. He received a reward for what he had done. Right? Rewards can be good and bad. Remember, we normally don't think about them, rewards, that way, do we? But they're bad, too. They can be bad. The Adam, what he got in exchange for his sin was nakedness and his knowing that he was naked. And he tried to cover himself up, but God gave him a gift, didn't he? What was his gift? A sufficient covering of a coat of skin, right? We go on down through history and we see that God gave the gift of a son to Abraham way beyond his ability. You know, see, Adam wasn't able to cover himself, right? God's in the habit of giving good gifts, sufficient gifts. He gave Abraham a son, but he waited, didn't he? He waited until it was beyond his ability to get a gift on his own. Right? I mean, Ishmael was older, way older. I mean, this man, the Bible says that Sarah's womb was dead. And he was an old man. I think 90 years older, maybe 100. If 90 when he promised him, or maybe it was earlier than that. But he waited until it was outside the realm of human possibility for God to give him that gift. For why? For His glory. Right? Then God's people get put into bondage, right? And God gave them a gift. What was His gift? It was deliverance. What? Deliverance out of bondage. The bondage that they were under was so severe, and it got worse when God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Pharaoh didn't do it. He even actually made it worse for them. And God allowed it to get worse, didn't He? Why did He allow it to get worse?
For His glory. That's why He raised up Pharaoh, right?
He raised up Pharaoh, hardened his heart. Now, don't get me wrong, Pharaoh hardened his own heart, but God done it too, for His glory. Let me ask you a question. If Moses went to Pharaoh the first time and asked him, "Pharaoh, we got a God, and God told me to ask you to let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "Okay, Moses, you can go," and then actually let him go. Who would have gotten the glory? Pharaoh would have gotten the glory. God waited until it was outside the realm of all natural thinking, beyond any expectation that they had naturally for Pharaoh doing it. But God brought it to pass, didn't He? Why?
So that the children of Israel would give glory to God. Right? That's the reason for the gift. That is the sole and first purpose of any gift that's given is to the praise of the glory of His grace, isn't it? That's the whole purpose. Not the whole purpose. It's the first and main purpose for any gift. Okay? And then in due time, God gave gifts to His children. He sustained them in the wilderness, didn't He? And He gave them the gift of what? Because they were hungry, they didn't have nothing to eat, and no way to grow any food. They were disobedient, right? First, God told them to go on in and eat milk and honey. But they didn't want to do that. They decided they would just not listen to God, not believe God. And so, they wandered around in the wilderness, a desert place. Y'all, I flew over the Sudan desert. I flew over Iraq. We flew out of Dubai when we come back from Africa just not a month or so ago. Y'all know I looked out the window and I didn't see anything green for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of miles. You can't grow anything out there unless it's by water. God, they wandered around in the desert like that. And God gave them something to eat out there. And where did it rain from? Where did it come from? It come from heaven. It come from God. It's the bread that they desired. Or that it wasn't what they wanted, but it sustained them. Right? It was a gift of God. For whose praise? For God's praise. And just another note on that manna. Paul says, when he talks about giving a little bit later on, he said, "He that gathered much had
didn't have an overabundance, and he that gathered little didn't have any lack. Everybody had what they need, right? God gave every one of them what they needed. Now, so God not only delivered them out of the bondage, but he also sustained them in the wilderness, even in their disobedience. Then he gave them prophets, and he gave them a worship. He gave them a temple, a system of government. He gave them everything that they needed. It was a gift. God gave them that and said, "This is for your good." Every gift that God gives us is for our good. Then in the due process time, he gave them prophets to remind them and reprimand them and to tell them, "You're not doing right, you're not doing right, you're not doing right." And they kept on, and then one of them, it got so bad that they had forgotten all of what God said. Then the king said, he found a book. The king found a book. I can't remember the king's name. He found a book and he started reading it. And he said, "Hey, I want you to read every bit of that to me." You know, because kings, they wouldn't even read themselves. They had somebody read it for them, you know. It's like they probably had somebody to feed them too. I don't know. And they read the book, and it made such an impact on that king that he said, "Everybody's going to read this book." He said, we ain't been doing right. And so they changed their behavior. Then the prophets did all this stuff, and they said, and all the prophets were prophesying of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, coming finally. When he had his advent into the world, wasn't that a gift? Wasn't that a gift? What a great gift. What a great gift it was, just his presence on the earth and his life, right? I mean, can you imagine reading the Bible and the Bible saying, "Jesus died on the cross for your sins and you're going to go to heaven based on what he did," and that's all it said about Jesus? Would that be... I mean, it'd be good. Don't get me wrong, but it wouldn't be full, right? The Bible is full. It gives us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness, right? We wouldn't really know how to treat each other if Jesus hadn't given us the gift of his life. Not just the gift of his death, but the gift of his life. Jesus not only brought us things that an example of how to live in his kingdom, but he gave his life for us for salvation. Talk about a gift. That's a wonderful gift, isn't it? That he would love us enough that he would give us a gift, and it's a precious gift that you can't get anywhere else. It's like that old Tanzanite stone. The only place you can really buy it, or the only place you can really get it, is in Tanzania. It's not available anywhere else. As far as the source is concerned, it's not available anywhere else. There's no other source of eternal life than Jesus Christ. And the gift that he brought, and the gift that he gives, there's no other source of it. We preached about that a little bit one time, called "Jesus is the Way." I preached about it in Africa, and you know what the title of the sermon was? Yesterday and Gia. Jesus is the Way. Because he is the Way. He's the way in English. He's the way in Swahili. He's the way in Russian. He's the way in Cantonese. He's the way in German. He's the way in any language that you speak, even if you don't have a verbal language, He's the way in sign language. Because He is the only source of that gift. You can't get it anywhere else. It's an exclusive gift. And it's given to whomever He pleases. It's given to the ones that He desires to give it to. And who is that? Well, just to be quite blunt about it, it's the ones that He loves. It's not the ones that love Him. Right? You don't love Him first and then He loves you. He loves you first and you love Him afterwards. He gives you the gift, then you thank Him for it. Right? Then you live for Him. Now, He gives us many instructions of how to use this gift. Romans 6:23. Good night. Romans 6:23. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages, get this, the wages of sin is what? Death. That means what you earn, right? What do we earn as human beings, as sinful human beings? We earn death. But the gift of God is, say it out loud, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good stuff, isn't it? How what we have is death. What we earn is death. Our best efforts can only produce death. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's good stuff, ain't it? That'll preach, won't it? That'll preach that Jesus Christ gave us the best gift, won't it? I'll preach that all day long. I'll preach that all my life. Because it'll take my life and many, many others to preach it. And no life is going to preach it all out. I could not preach about the gift enough. I'm not going to do with it the way that I did with that Yeti cup. I'm not going to put it on the table and say, oh, thanks. He gives gifts for His glory. Right? We've already set the precedent. Everything that God gives us is for His glory. And this salvation is for His glory, right? The gift of salvation is to the praise of the glory of His grace, right? I mean, it's over and over and over and over and over in the Bible, in the Scriptures, is it all to the praise and the glory of God, isn't it? Every time you read about salvation, it's almost married right after that with to the praise of His glory. Or something that talks about honor and glory and praise to God. Almost always, they're right there together. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to skip a few places. Y'all try to keep up. 2 Corinthians 4. He talks about in verse 5, he says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants." For whose sake? For Jesus' sake. Not for mine. Not really for yours. We do it because it honors and pleases God. He says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this, what? Treasure. That sounds like something real expensive, don't it? It is. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He says, and we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, persecuted but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. We're delivered to what? Death. For whose sake? For Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be what? Say it out loud. Manifest. Made manifest in our mortal flesh. That means God works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That because God doesn't give us gifts for them just to sit in our heart and not be worked out and not come out, you know. What happens when you eat a bunch of garlic? What happens when you eat a bunch of garlic?
Breast stinks.
Your breast stinks. And it even comes, if you eat enough for long enough, it starts to exude out of your pores. And people, everybody that gets near you can know that you've been eating garlic and you love garlic. Right? I want the Word of God to be that way in you. I want the Word of God, I want you to eat it up so much that it comes out your nose, it comes out your ears, it comes out your mouth, it comes out your pores of your body. I want it to come out of your hands, I want it to come out of your eyes, I want it to come out of your feet. I want this Word to come out of you so much and be manifest in you so much that people look at you and say, that is a child of God right there. That is a disciple of Christ. That's my hope for you. Now, he says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, y'all follow me, follow this, that the abundant grace might, that doesn't mean maybe, that means mightily, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to what? The glory of God. That means it's going to bounce back. That means it's going to be magnified. That means it's going to be blown on a bullhorn. The glory of God. That the grace that's given to you might, through thanksgiving, not, I'm going to put it on the shelf, thanks for the Yeti cup. It's not that kind of thanks. I was thankful for it, but not really. If you listen to this sermon, I love you. But, the guy that gave me, you know, the Yeti cup. I love him. I do. I just kind of turned my nose up at that, and it was bad. I felt bad about it. I don't want to have to feel bad about what God's given me in His face, in His presence. I don't want other people to see that He's given me the gift and look down on me because of how I'm using it. Right? He gave me a gift for a purpose, that it might redound to His glory. I think we've made that point. That's the first and foremost reason that God gives gifts, is to to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's in Ephesians 1 and 3. And salvation is a gift because it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. All right, now, there may be one other place I want to go. He says in verse Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound. That means not just kind of stay level or plateau, but that it abound, increase. Yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, here it is, I'm sorry, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. How long does He want us to do that? Till the Lord comes back, right? Till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. You see what He gives us stuff for? It's to His glory and praise. Now, the second thing that I want to talk about is that He gave us these gifts for the perfecting of the saints. All right? Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Turn back a few pages. Four and eight. Four and seven. Wow. It's hard to start not at the beginning. But He says, there's one body, one spirit, you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, this is in verse 8, wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive. I love that. It won't do to go into it, but He led the thing that took us captive and held it in captivity. Amen. And what did He give? What did He give? Gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended, the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave some apostles. And He gave some prophets. These are the gifts that He gave. And He gave some evangelists. And some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, this is not talking about individual spiritual gifts that God disperses out to the general saint. He's talking to the saints, but He's talking about the gifts that He gave as far as proclaiming His word. Right? He's talking about the gifts of apostles and preachers and teachers and pastors and evangelists and all that. He's talking about those special gifts that He gave certain men to preach His word and declare His name on the earth to His glory. Yes, but it was for you, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long did He give those gifts for? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Unity. One. Not disjointed. Not disconnected. unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, whole, complete. It doesn't mean perfect in the sinless way. It means complete, right? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How long am I supposed to be edifying you? Until I think you're up to that measure. When's that? It's past my death. It's past your death. It's until the Lord comes back, and we really are all united in Him, right? That's how long He wants us to preach His Word and give Him glory and edify the body. It's for the perfecting of saints. Let me ask you a question. Are you as good a Christian as you need to be? Are you as good a disciple as you need to be? Anybody say yes? Then we still got work to do, right? We still got work to do. I still got work to do. You still have work to do. To become whole. That's what perfect means. For the perfecting of the saints. This may be unattainable without any error while we live on this earth. But it's not unattainable to get better. Right? None of us are going to be sinless because of the preaching. But, right? I mean, we know that. God does that. God makes us sinless. Christ did that. Because of His gift. My gift, one of my gifts, is to preach God's Word to you. Now let me ask you a question. Are you happy that I'm exercising my gift? Or the gift that God gave me to use? Some of you may not be. And that's okay. It's not going to make me stop using the gift. I'm not the only one with a gift in this body. Right? Every one of you, all the way down to Caleb, Leah, Talon, Drew, Chuck, anybody has a gift. Everybody has a gift. That who gave? God gave it. For what purpose? To His glory. What's the second purpose? For the edifying of the body. Actually, that's the third purpose. He gave the preachers for the edifying of the body. But then a body also is supposed to edify itself. Right? The body is supposed to edify itself. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good stuff, isn't it? Wow. I'm going to ask you a question. How do I know that you're saved? Well, let me ask you a few questions. First one is, do you love God? Second question is,
Do you feel like you're a sinner and are in need of redemption?
If you answered yes to those questions, I can pretty much, beyond a shadow of a doubt, say that you already are. And there are a lot of things for you to do. I'll ask you another question. Do you think you're good enough and that God is obligated because of your goodness to save you? I got bad news for you. Got bad news for you. That's not good, is it? Jesus did not come to call what? The righteous, did he? But sinners to repentance. If you feel that way, if you feel that Jesus, that by his stripes you were healed, this is your place. The world is not going to help you. This is your place. If any of you have the desire to come and join the church, you may do so as we sing our last song. I want us to think about the body. Lord willing, that's going to be my next sermon next week. Please be in prayer. I want you to think about your role in the body. I want you to think about what your purpose is. And you can't say, I'm an appendix. Y'all get it? Hannah got it. Kathy got it. You can't say that I'm an appendix. That it don't matter whether I'm here or whether I'm not. They can take me out and nobody would notice. Nobody in here is an appendix. Okay? Amen. Be thinking about what part of the body you are.
Tonsils.
That don't work either. Think about that. Really. Seriously, think about what part of the body that you are. Ponder it. Pray about it. And it might enlighten you. Ask God to show you what your gift is. Because he's given you gifts for his glory. Are we using them? May the Lord bless you, my friend.